Hello and welcome to Brain Trust Live number 236.
This week on the podcast, enjoy your Trump care, America, assuming you don't die swiftly and in debt.
And heartless Republicans declare, let them eat iPhones.
Plus, the GOP seems to think that they've released the first accurate jobs report in 8 years. If true, it would also be the first accurate jobs report in the history of America.
And Donald Trump's Twitter dreams are answered. He will get to see the court in court.
The Terminator claims he's not running for a California Senate seat, so we'll probably just see him on the ballot then.
And hey, couldn't find a White House tour that fits your schedule? Well, getting in is apparently as simple as jumping over a fence and walking into the White House.
We'll have all this and more.
This is Brain Trust Live. Hey guys, I'm Brent.
I'm Lila, and you can find us on the web at www.braintrustlive.com.
That's right.
We had an exciting week because we finally got to see the secret GOP healthcare
plan. Yeah, we did. As far as like insane shenanigans, probably less so this week.
Less
which
so
I can
of
use
like,
a break from.
Right. People.
Trump, sort of.
Trump insane shenanigans.
Right, exactly.
This week, though, there were other sort of like kinds of insane shenanigans that are more typical of the political process, but are also
right.
fun and insane.
Right. Paul Ryan.
I.e. this healthcare.
Right. I was going to say, in hindsight, Paul Ryan probably wishes that Trump had done something more insane this week. So we wouldn't be talking
Donald
about the
Trump
GOP healthcare plan because
fails
it's not great
to do something insane in every week that they would actually benefit from having something insane happen.
I know.
He never gets that right.
No, he doesn't.
He's
get
the
right
worst at, like, because right he wants all the attention, he doesn't
right
understand how he's distracting everyone in sort of like a way that would help him use it productively.
I know. Yeah.
He just thinks he's on top of shit.
Yeah.
But in the words of our fair president, these healthcare bills, a total disaster.
Total disaster.
The White House does not want us to call it Trump care, but we are doubling down on calling it Trump care.
No, of course they don't.
We're only calling
it
Trump care.
And the Democrats are
too.
I was heartened to see Chuck Schumer call it Trump care, like in their big, the Democrats' big press conference.
Remember
that they had
when we committed on this podcast to only refer to Obamacare as the ACA until
right
its rating suddenly went up and then we went back to calling it Obamacare?
Right, exactly.
We are fully committed
semantics,
to only
guys
ever calling this
Trump
care.
It's Trump care.
The messaging is important because this is Donald Trump's health.
Yeah.
This is the plan that he ran on.
This is the plan that he talked about in his fake State of the Union. I mean, this was
unfortunately, it doesn't have any of the things that the plan that he talked about on the stump was supposed to.
Right.
Like,
well, he was
something
confused
that
on the stump because at one point he accidentally was
hard
for single
Brent
payer. Healthcare is hard. Who knew?
Who knew? So, unfortunately for him and the GOP, the hardest hit voters or people in general
are theirs.
Are theirs for this new plan that
they really should have thought better about that.
These and also these deficit hawks over there are marking it up before the CBO score comes in, even though it's their requirement that
right
you not vote on anything until it, unless it, you know, it can't increase the deficit or it can't increase the deficit for 10 years or something.
Right.
Like, that's their rule.
Right.
And like now
right
they're pissed that they have to abide by their own rule because
right
they're ignoring it.
Yeah.
In any case, it's interesting because it seeks to preserve things that were popular about
right
Obamacare while removing any of the things that made them feasible.
Feasible, right.
And then adding tax cuts.
Right, exactly, yes.
Basically.
They removed the mandate and the fee that you would have to pay if you,
right, if you,
you
didn't
know,
buy
the penalty.
Right.
And they also removed a lot of its funding mechanisms.
Exactly.
So there you go.
The two things it preserves are letting kids stay on their parents' plan until 26. Trump has repeatedly said that he's in favor of that.
Yep.
And allowing plans to reject people with pre-existing conditions because
right
humanity is in favor of not
that right
allowing that.
Yeah.
And we used to allow that here in California. I mean, I was rejected from every health plan
I
in
know
California because
for,
of
like
it.
Asthma,
for
right
asthma.
Or something?
Yeah,
I know.
So,
yeah.
I mean, these are good ideas, except right that there are no protections to rein in the price should we decide to keep these
right
great things that we have.
Yeah.
Because the mandate was the only thing that kept healthier slash cheaper customers in the system.
Correct.
They're getting rid of the mandate. And not only that, the thing that they're going to use to replace the funding for the mandate, the onus ends up being on the poorest people, basically.
Right.
Because instead of allowing insurers, I mean, instead of requiring people to pay a tax penalty, this new plan allows insurers to impose a 30% surcharge on people who have a gap between plans. We also
right
used to have that, by
yes
the way, in California
yeah
and a number of other
yeah
states. It meant, you know, it meant that you couldn't have a gap in your insurance, so you had to continue in continuous coverage was a term that we
yeah
used a lot before the Affordable
yes
Care Act came into
so
effect.
So now people who don't have plans, who are going to be the people who are kicked off of plans, because a lot of people are going to be kicked off of plans,
right,
which we'll tell you about shortly.
Unless they get a plan right away, even if the charges are $1 trillion a month,
right,
those are the
they're
people that end
to
up paying the 30%
right
surcharge.
Right, exactly.
The surcharge, by the way, isn't tax money that goes into our pockets. It is something that insurers keep.
Yes.
So exactly. Unlike the last system, which penalized people for not participating in the system, yeah. and we got to keep the money.
Yeah.
This time we are lining the pockets of insurance companies,
which we already complained that Obamacare was doing in the first place. I mean, like we're already just forcing people to buy insurance plans from private insurance
companies. Also overstate how ridiculously cruel this is as a policy. Because it is likely the poorest people that will be forced off of plans and be unable to afford new plans.
Of course.
It is always the poorest people. They are cutting subsidies very drastically yes. in this version of the plan as well. And so what this means is that the poorest people not only will be paying way more than they can afford for healthcare,
right.
they will be paying a 30% surcharge on top of that.
Right, because they're probably going
to
have
a lapse. It goes directly to the richest Americans.
Yes.
Because it goes directly to giant private industry.
That's right.
So it is mind-boggling to me that this is not just like been immediately shot down by like braining people right. who are braining out right. braining well, around
it sort of has
but
been.
I guess it sort of has right but it also
not necessarily for that reason but for
it eliminates
different
some taxes on the wealthy yes. as well. And most of the tax benefits of this thing go to the wealthy. It eliminates a net investment income tax that was part of the funding mechanism for the last bill, I believe. Yeah. And it was a tax that was specifically designed to only affect people in the top two tax brackets.
Right.
A 3.8% tax on investments.
Yeah.
And then there was also a 0.9% additional Medicare tax, which only affects top earners as well,
yeah.
that they also eliminated. These people don't need the extra money, you guys.
No.
They weren't spending it on us when they had it before, and they're not spending it on us now.
No, they weren't.
It also eliminates Planned Parenthood funding. And this is another one that I feel like people don't quite understand what is meant when we say this.
No.
Because it's not like just money that the government is paying directly to Planned Parenthood.
No, that's never what Planned
like, that's not the what
the government only reimburses Planned Parenthood
for services they provide.
Services they provide using Medicaid.
It means that Medicaid patients won't be allowed to go to Planned Parenthood. And considering that Planned Parenthood is the only women's health presence in many communities, especially yes. rural communities,
yes.
that is an enormous loss to women in America.
Yes.
Period.
Yeah.
And by the way, this money already doesn't go to abortions. We've said this again, but we're going to, you know, we've said it yes. repeatedly, but we're going to say it again. So this money isn't going to the things that the people who are trying to seek to defund Planned Parenthood
think
it's going to.
They're basically removing women being able, poor women in rural communities being able to go and get a cancer screening.
Exactly.
It's basically what eliminating money for Planned Parenthood
and
means.
And literally that's in many of these communities, it will mean that there is not somewhere that they can get that screening. Not even
right.
that they can go to a different Medicaid, you know, clinic.
Right.
It means that there will not be somewhere that they right. can get that screening.
Yeah.
There was a lot of confusion in this new release of this bill about subsidies because initially they were planning to just allow subsidies on the basis of age.
Right.
It turned out that wasn't going to fund the bill effectively.
Sure.
Because that would have meant, by the way, that the older you get, the more subsidies you would get, which means that poor young people wouldn't get much in the way of subsidies
right.
at all or any subsidies. And rich old people would get subsidies that were being paid using tax dollars from poor
right.
people who weren't getting subsidies. They had been intending to veer away from income-based subsidies. Unfortunately, they couldn't figure out how to make the plan actually work. So they kind of are doing,
they're doing a joint, the
idea sort of bridges the gap.
Yeah.
Both, I mean, it's a terrible idea too that doesn't
sure.
bridge the gap enough.
No.
So basically they would offer tax credits for people under 30 and over 60.
Yeah.
And then the full credit would be available to individuals who earn up to $75,000 a year or couples that earn $150,000 a year filing jointly. And then it would phase out for individuals earning more for every $1,000 of additional income.
Right.
They would
you
be entitled
100.
To $100 less. And these subsidies would range from $2,000 a year for the youngest people to $4,000 a year for the oldest people.
Right.
There's nothing in the way of subsidies for people between 30
and
60, and
60.
Which is most people. And not even for poor people between the ages of 30
nothing,
and 60.
There's nothing for poor people anywhere.
Right, exactly.
By the way.
So if you are a person who earns under $75,000 a year and is 31,
yeah.
you get no subsidies.
Hosed.
If you are a person who earns $12,000 a year and is under the age of 30, is the age of 31, you also get no subsidies.
Yep.
If you earn $74,000 though and are 29, you'll get subsidies. And then the next year, you will suddenly
you
not have any subsidies, even if your income is cut in, you know, is an eighth of what it was.
We're laughing only because this is ridiculous.
This is
not
a ridiculous
because it's not funny.
Plan.
It's fucking tragic,
yeah.
is what it is. But I mean,
so essentially, the tax credits exist, but they would go to more people,
yeah.
but they would provide less help for the poor, who are the people who need the credits,
right?
Because rich people can afford
right.
to pay for healthcare,
right?
There and.
Are- Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
The one final point that I think is funny is that there's a lot of consternation on the right about right. this, because the reason they wanted to get rid of the income-based credits is because they wanted to get the IRS out of this.
Right.
They hate the IRS.
Yeah,
you
can't eliminate the IRS when the IRS is heavily involved with providing healthcare to America.
Exactly.
Right.
So the IRS is who tells us who qualifies for subsidies in the current system.
Yeah.
And they wanted to make it so the IRS had no role in this, and that's why they wanted to do it by age.
Mm-hmm.
So they, you know, the IRS doesn't have to tell them your age is 75. They can figure
that
out.
Right, they can figure that out. Right. They have to tell you how much money you make.
Right, but if they need to know how much money you make, the IRS has to be involved. And so this new plan does not eliminate the role of the IRS, which is infuriating to the far right, which is, I think, so funny. The other big sticking point, and this is, I think, the biggest sticking
point
among... among moderate Republicans.
Yes.
And I mean, and people with brains.
Yes.
But like,
well, and Democrats.
And Democrats. But I mean
this
people,
is,
of the people who would ostensibly support this bill, this is a big sticking point.
This is what I think will probably
sink this.
I was going to say, other than all of the terrible things that we just told you,
but
which
they don't
are
care
all
about
bad
you
ideas.
Losing healthcare.
They don't, no, they don't care about that. This is what's going to bring this
there
down.
There are some
right
purple
here.
State governors and purple state senators that cannot let this happen.
Right.
It's what it does to the Medicaid money.
Right.
So Medicaid would be converted from being an entitlement program that is available to anyone who's eligible, regardless of what state they live in, into a per capita cap on funding per state.
Yeah.
So, basically, it would mean that they've decided not to eliminate the Medicaid funding right away. That they've already, you know, for the Medicaid expansion that they've already put out, but no one new could sign up for the program. And instead of allowing programs to accept as many people as qualify and providing the money that is required to cover that many people,
now
they would basically provide block grants to states.
Right.
So if you're a state, and this I think is interesting because this most directly impacts Republican states that receive more federal money than they give.
Yes.
This impacts their voters. New York State and California can probably afford to cover the additional burden of covering the Medicaid people that won't be covered when we get a block grant.
Right.
It won't be great. I'm not for it. But
no.
I mean, and it's not fair to us considering we're already paying everyone's way already. But
the
problem is
Kansas,
Mississippi.
Or Mississippi.
The problem is,
states that already, well, Kansas is for a different problem, although they probably fall in the same boat.
Yes.
But they just don't.
They don't manage
their
money.
Schools,
right,
so they
exactly.
certainly. But yes, I mean, these other four states.
These other states won't be able to make up the difference. So what we're basically doing is allowing a large portion of people in these red rural states to just fall right through the cracks.
Right. Well, and the red governors who have taken it are real big fans, obviously.
Huge fans.
I mean, we're going to get to John Kasich in a little bit, but I mean, like,
because they states.
But now he is the governor of a state where a bunch of people have health care, and he didn't have to do anything other than just say yes to Obama when he offered him a bunch of billions of dollars.
Yeah.
I mean, so
this is with that in mind, I mean, this is really the first time that Congress has tried to reverse a major social benefit program this way.
Right.
You know, we we've been rolling back social programs.
Totally.
Democrats and Republicans
Democrats
for a while.
It.
I mean, the welfare reform package under the Clintons was not such great shakes for people who get welfare.
No.
But this is the first time that a program that affects everyone, that we've tried to get rid of it. This is this is the first time we've expanded a social benefit this way and then tried to roll it back completely.
Right.
In this kind of way. And that's going to be, you know, we said years ago on this podcast and still, I think, believe that the reason that it was important to support the Affordable Care Act, even though it was certainly not what we wanted to see policy-wise, was because it is harder to take away a social program than it is to give one.
Yes.
It is really hard to get the social program in place.
Right.
But once it's in place, it's even harder to take it away.
Right.
Because people don't want to give up something. They can live with things they've never had, but they don't want to live with things that they do have.
Right, yes.
You know, without things that they
without
do
without things
have.
That they
right.
Right.
So it's much harder to roll this back than it is to get it moving forward. And that is why you pass a bill that's maybe not perfect. And that's why you allow the mandate to be imperfect. Even, you know, that's why you let these things happen, even though this was a Heritage Foundation plan and it lines the pockets of insurance companies and all this thing.
Yes.
If the precedent is that everyone deserves healthcare, it's much harder to suddenly argue everyone doesn't deserve healthcare.
Right, exactly. Yes.
Whereas in our system before, we were arguing that everyone didn't deserve healthcare. I mean, our system showed that everyone didn't deserve healthcare. And so people came into the world believing they didn't deserve it.
Right.
And now they think they deserve it. And it's going to be hard to be like, oh, no, sorry,
actually,
you were too poor for it. I didn't.
Yeah, right.
You don't deserve it because you're poor.
Right. You're poor. So
like,
you just get to die.
You know who's poor? Racist white people.
Mostly poor
and
people.
And who voted for Donald Trump?
Them.
Those people.
Yeah.
It's like, in any case, You might not be surprised that the Democrats hate it. I mean, they held a press conference on Thursday where they brought it, you know, trotted they out a bunch of Obamacare beneficiaries and Schumer got out there and called it a tax break for the rich. And Chris Van Hollen was talking about how much of a tax break it is for the rich. And, you know, they're trying to really seize on the tax break element of it because the Republicans really don't want to talk about that.
No.
Paul Ryan has been asked about it twice this week and has laughed the first time and the second time got grilled by Tucker Carlson about it on Fox News. And it was very uncomfortable to watch. But also, like,
once you're getting grilled by Tucker Carlson, it's of all like, people. Like,
the man wears a bow tie. Come on.
I know.
But moderate senators hate it also. Rob Portman, Shelley Moore Capito, Cory Gardner, and Lisa Murkowski co-wrote a letter to Mitch McConnell saying that they would oppose any plan that leaves millions of people uninsured. All of their states took the Medicaid expansion money. And so all of their... They're all from vaguely purplish states. Or fully purplish states in the case of Ohio and Colorado. And, I think that it's going to be interesting because... These moderate senators have this concern. They don't want to see everyone in their state lose health care. A lot of, you know, especially like Rob Portman is from Ohio.
Right.
Shelley Moore Capito is from West Virginia. Those are big Rust Belt states. They need this kind of money because they have big health care needs and job issues in those rural communities that they need to take care of. But the far right hates it almost as much.
Right. It's, for obviously different reasons.
For very different reasons. But it's interesting because both wings of the party that are on, you know, the extreme ends are furious about it.
Yeah.
Breitbart. Oddly, considering how in bed they are with the administration. I was going
to say, how was this allowed to happen? How did this go to print?
Had an article entitled, Seven Reasons Why Obamacare 2.0 is All But Guaranteed to Impose Crushing Costs on Voters, Hurt Trump's Base, and Hand Power Back to the Democrats.
Yeah.
Their headline writing prowess impresses me every time.
Yeah.
But so
right about all of those things.
Yeah. Six of the points are basically just that Trump is blowing political capital on a losing thing because they want him to pursue immigration reform. They don't care about this.
Sure.
Those far right wackos who are white supremacists, they're interested in banning people from coming into the U.S. They're interested in getting rid of immigrants.
Sure.
They are not interested in dealing with healthcare policy. You want to know
what's, You want to know what's interesting, though, actually, is that in regards to blowing political capital, there were a lot of people who thought Obama was doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Because this was the first thing that he pursued, and a lot of people thought that he should have actually done immigration.
We're like on our third president
who basically was going to, who said that immigration was going to be their first thing. Now, Trump obviously wants to do terrible things with immigration, but I mean, like, that immigration is often seen as a thing that, like, both parties can probably, like, come up with a solution for. So, like, that is the thing that, like, everyone says that the president should do when they first get in there, as opposed to, like, deal with healthcare because it's such a volatile issue. So it's just curious that they're now saying the same thing about Trump that, like, a lot of people said about Obama.
We're showing how volatile it is. Their own party is tearing itself apart over this.
Totally, yeah.
But one of those 7 points was that it's bad for Trump voters.
Yeah.
And Breitbart is speaking to said voters.
Yeah.
The far right in general, the Freedom Caucus and et al., they are also very against this for different reasons, obviously. Right. But one of the things that's been interesting is Paul Ryan is trying to shove this through really quickly because he doesn't want to create this sort of like political maelstrom of chaos is currently engulfing this the process.
And the Republican leadership has already been telling all of their members to not talk about it and to basically just show up and vote and
So what they're doing is they're saying it's a yes no thing. Your vote, you know, you vote yes or no on it. We're not talking about it.
Right.
The problem is that the Freedom Caucus wants to talk about it because they are calling it Obamacare Light and they want it to be much worse than it currently is. So they are having a hard time getting their amendments voted on because of that. And because of that, they are furious about the way that this is being carried out because you know that they don't play ball ever with anyone. You know, they only do their own thing. And their amendments, by the way, include just phasing out the Medicaid expansion entirely. Right. I mean, they're talking about terrible amendments.
Yeah, I know. But this is the thing that like is so confusing to me that people just don't get. If they are mad that this is Obamacare Light, then that begs the question, what is your solution?
Yeah.
And the only answer to that question, if this isn't what they want and Obamacare isn't what they want, then the only thing that they could possibly want is to literally go back to how it was.
Yeah. No, no one's willing to say.
That's what no one's willing to say.
And but how it was, by the way, regulated by state. So it wasn't a free market system like they're talking about. How it was a piecemeal system that didn't work because there was no policy.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't even remember how it was.
Right.
But how it was terrible.
How it was terrible. It seems like a lifetime ago, but it wasn't that long ago that it was terrible.
We were adults when it was that terrible. Yes. We were not kids at that time.
No.
I mean, that's, it is no. like, boggle, it boggles my mind.
You were old enough to be getting refused health insurance.
I was
insurance.
Old enough to be buying my own health insurance and finding that I, as a 20-something who was relatively healthy, was being refused yeah. from it. But it's interesting that they are picking the exact opposite extreme to be angry about and just like right. running with it. Because yeah. They were on CNN talking about how angry they were about it
yeah.
Just this week as well. And then, speaking of Congress and, you know, senators, we also have the state version of the federal government, state version of federal governments also commenting on these things
yeah.
because we have a bunch of governors who are Republicans yeah. and are angry about
right.
this.
Right, John Kasich.
So, you know, we talked about Murkowski and Cory Gardner and all of them. The governors of many of their states are equally angry about
yeah.
this. John
yeah.
Kasich in particular, Rob Portman
right.
from Ohio is one of the
right.
senators
yeah.
who's been talking about it. But John Kasich himself has also come out against it.
Yeah.
And Scott Walker, who's the chairman of the Republican Governors Association, had been working on a draft proposal that would have put states in charge of their own Medicaid programs so that
yeah.
the ones that wanted it could have kept it the way
right.
it was. But that has not come to fruition yet,
no.
and no one has consulted them. They're angry that no one's consulting them because they have a lot of the burden of actually carrying out this
yeah.
healthcare policy. So John Kasich said, phasing out Medicaid coverage without a viable alternative is counterproductive and unnecessarily puts at risk our ability to treat the drug-addicted, mentally ill, and working poor who now have access to a stable source of care.
Yeah.
They have big problems
he was also
in Ohio with former
yeah.
Rust Belt people not
right.
having fucking health care
right, exactly.
and
he
having
was,
massive health care.
Yeah, he was also asked on Meet the Press because I think Mike Pence had said something about like how this was going to make it easier for governors to be able to like operate their programs
yeah.
or something like that. And so like Chuck Todd was like, is this going to make it easier for you? And he said no. That was like that was
like,
the end of that. Like it was
yeah.
no, and then there was like not a there was not a follow up to
bad.
The no. It was just no.
And then we have Sarah Palin, who oh, also
boy.
Hates it.
Yes.
For garbled reasons.
I was going to say for an entirely different reason than literally everyone else, which should come as no surprise to anyone.
She in all of her slam poetry genius,
yeah.
is calling it Rhino Care. That's mm-hmm. Republican in name only.
Yeah.
Care. And has been griping because she is angry that she's not positive that all of it applies to Congress as well. Which is such an interesting take.
Right?
She's calling it socialism, which
yeah,
sounds
she called,
like her.
She's been calling it socialism, which
yeah.
is what I find hilarious
yeah,
about
I'm,
it. But I mean, yes.
I know. But she's also, the actual speech that she gave about it was
yeah.
all about how, you know, if they're going to ram it down the throats of everyone in America, it better apply to them too. It's such a weird set of quotes. She
yeah.
said, and you know, as with anything else mandated by Congress, every single dotted I and cross T better apply to them too, and not just the people who are lording this thing over, because remember, this is government-controlled healthcare, the system that requires enrollment in an unaffordable, unsustainable, unwanted, unconstitutional continuation of government-run medicine. And even in this new quasi-reform proposal, there is still an aspect of socialism. The whole premise is here. So
there
that, while it doesn't make a ton of sense,
no.
She also, though, accused them of being in the pocket of big business, which I think is also hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, she claims to not be, and she claims to be of the people. I mean, she's
right.
The,
yeah, she has
line,
the very
sad,
populist,
but I mean, yeah.
terrible ideas that
right.
people have.
Yeah.
But so she's convinced that the Donald can fix it, but also admitted that she didn't have a plan to fix it.
Yeah.
And also maybe doesn't understand how healthcare works.
No.
But it's funny that like her anger is with such random, like nonsensical things that.
That's why we love her.
Yeah, that's why we love her. And then Tom Cotton.
Right.
Came out on today on This Week on ABC yep. and said to the House Republicans that they should not vote on it because it would haunt them in the 2018 midterms.
Yeah.
He was the one who was talking about, you know, presidents taking on the wrong issue in their first term. And
yeah.
he was talking specifically about a Clinton era thing.
Yeah.
But he, you know.
Well, he's also a person who intends to be president, Tom
right.
Cotton.
Right. Exactly.
By the way.
I don't
I
know
hope that,
that
never
we
happens,
intend him
no.
to be president.
But I mean, he is a person who in Republican circles has like for a while been talked about. He's
mm-hmm.
young. He's a vet. He's a, you know, fairly well-spoken, even though
right.
he's saying all the wrong things. Like he looks like a person who could be the president.
Exactly.
Outside of being awful.
But yeah, he said, so I would say to my friends in the House of Representatives with whom I serve, do not walk the plank and vote for a bill that cannot pass the
yeah.
Senate and then have to face the consequences of that
yeah.
vote.
Yeah. And Lyle and I we would agree with Tom Cotton here, that this
yes.
could put the House in jeopardy. Lyle and I have our own separate message for our friends in the House of Representatives.
Yes.
The Democrats in the House of Representatives.
The Democrats in the House of Representatives.
Yeah. Because I sort of, as I said, had a revelation, and then I was like, that's not really a revelation at all. But we have now tried Obamacare, and people mysteriously hated it.
Right.
Like, everyone hated it.
I could have told you everyone was going to hate it.
Right, exactly.
I know exactly
people on the
why
left
everyone
hated it,
it
because it wasn't single payer. People on the right hated it because of the mandate, even though they had invented the mandate.
Right.
Now we have the Republican plan that they have been itching to pass for, you know, literally ever since Obamacare passed, because they've been repealing Obamacare since,
right,
you know, 700 times or however many now at this right point. And everybody hates that. The left, right, the center hates that too. Now is when you do single payer.
That's it.
It's literally right now.
It is.
It's like tomorrow. Like, call people tomorrow.
It's
because
the only policy that's not tainted by partisan politics at this moment.
Right.
And I was saying to Brent, like, it boggles my mind that the Republicans saw Obamacare passing and didn't have the long-term vision to think, okay, we invented this plan. They just stole our plan.
Yeah.
How do we take credit for this and continue to have our plan so that we have a plan instead
right
of demanding that it's terrible and that it be repealed
right
and all of these things and then having nothing to fall back
having,
on because
right,
this
because,
was their
because
plan.
This was their plan. So
this
now,
was their only plan.
Right, so they ran against their plan for 8 years.
Right, and now,
what are
they
supposed
to do?
They've realized that there isn't another plan that isn't this plan or single
exactly
payer. So if you hate this plan too, if you're in the House of Representatives or anywhere, or just like, I mean, you go out and you tell these rural voters in Ohio or wherever that, hey, you don't like Obamacare, you don't like Trump care, we've got a solution
yeah
for you, and it involves you getting free health care. And if you, as you said, if you think we can't do it, then ask literally every other country on this earth
yeah
how they're doing it, and then let's do it.
I mean, I also
then
I,
you have free healthcare.
I think that a smart because the other thing is that the Democrats backed themselves into a wall where they had to go to the mat defending a very flawed plan.
Totally.
We get that Obamacare is flawed. People on the left know that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just the, you know, the far left that knows that. The center left knows what's wrong with this plan as well.
Yeah.
They wouldn't say it during the presidential race. They wouldn't say it during the last midterms. They wouldn't, they haven't been willing to say it.
Right.
But I think that given that there was always a chance that the Republicans took ownership of this problem this way.
Yeah.
It would have been smart to leave themselves an outlet
yeah
where they could have been like, yes, of course this doesn't go as far as we wanted it to.
Right.
We had to compromise on it. And what
but
the compromise was
right
was a plan that the Republicans came up with
right
initially.
Right.
We want to go farther.
Right.
We want to take this plan and we want to
right
make it work as well as it works in
and
every
other
country.
And then it would have been easy for both parties to be able to fix what's wrong with it right
yeah
now too.
Exactly.
Like they could be having they could be having a civilized conversation about how to bring costs down right
exactly
now. As opposed
we all
to
want to bring costs down.
Right.
That's what everyone's goal is here.
Right.
You know? And now the Democrats are backed into a wall where they have to defend the high costs essentially.
Right.
The Republicans are backed into a wall where they claim they're going to bring costs down but they have no conceivable
not
plan to do
right
that
because
whatsoever.
Because they just ripped a lot of its funding away.
Exactly. And what we need is an idea that reminds us of what the goal is.
Right.
Which is that everyone have health care.
Right.
Like, that's why we have the plan. That's
yes
what the whole point of providing health care is.
Right. That's why we passed a health care bill.
Exactly.
Was to try and ensure everybody could have health care.
This is just like, for Democrats right now to go to the mat to protect piecemeal a plan that is falling apart piece by piece, not because they're doing anything, but because Republicans are pulling it apart piece
right
by piece.
I offer a big solution.
Offer a big solution. Say, fine, you don't want Obamacare? We understand that
right
there are some issues that need to
we
be
got
worked
you
out. We've got you. And this is something you speak directly to rural voters with.
Totally.
They're so in for the populist rhetoric
I was gonna
at
say
the moment.
If you're a rural voter in Ohio,
it's a simple solution,
and you are about to get kicked off your Medicaid
yeah
right now, and the Democratic representative comes into your state
and
says
you're all gonna
I
have Medicaid
the solution,
yeah,
and I'm going to give you all Medicaid, and I'm going to make sure you have it, regardless of whether you lost your job because it went to China, like that is a winning solution right
and
there.
And it's simple.
Yeah, it's
because
easy.
I've been chiding the Democrats for backing
even,
themselves
yeah, like,
into
right
compromise solutions that they can't describe in simple terms. And here's the thing. I know that everyone's always decrying that Americans are like not informed and not whatever and not paying attention. It's too much to expect people to understand complicated
policy minutia totally
for every issue on
right
the planet.
We don't live in a country of wonks.
We don't live in a country of wonks. People have lives. They have jobs. They have kids. They're crying in their, you know, cribs and their houses and their food, whatever. People are busy.
Yeah.
Like, it's fine if they only understand the broad strokes as long as you are offering something that they can grasp onto.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what your job as a politician really is. It's not for them to do your job for you.
No.
It's for you to do the job so that they don't have to do it. They're paying you to do a job that they
right
don't want to do.
Yes.
But it's just like the sort of like the simple and elegant solution here is how you win back people that were wooed by a Trump thing.
And populism, like we said, you know, we was said fake. That was always
exactly
fake.
And we always said this during the Sanders campaign, but you have to be willing to say the big thing that you're aiming for in order to make the little changes move you in that direction.
Yeah.
You don't have to be angry later when we don't have a full single payer system in 4 years, but you do have to be angry when we weren't even willing to identify the goal.
Right. Yes, exactly.
I mean, not in any case.
They're not going to do it. P.S.
I know.
Like,
the worst.
Like, if we just got you excited about Democrats going
out
in 2018 and doing that, you're going to be sorely mistaken sorely upset when the time rolls around, because that's not what's going to happen.
They're like, Obamacare is the most important, blah, blah, blah. Yeah,
exactly.
It's like, it's too much. God. But it's part of this mentality of the, like, loyalty instead of idea. You know,
totally.
I don't think it's a problem that Democrats are always at each other's throats, because I think it means we're thinking. You know, I think that you need to be willing to have the discussions. I think that those are productive. I know that it seems like we go around and around in circles, but I don't think that just having compromised unity is enough.
No.
Because it leads you to dumb, idiotic people, you know, who have no plan, who is like the blind leading the blind all over Washington right now.
Yeah.
And it's because they had a simple message and no ideas behind it.
Yeah.
You know, the left is a mess always and always has been, but that's because we care about the ideas.
Right.
We care to discuss them. We are allowed to disagree on the left.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't benefit anyone if we all just fall in line.
No.
And then become our own kind of authoritarians, essentially, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, back in Insanoland.
Yeah.
Jason Chaffetz was pontificating on CNN about this was right before they released the plan. So we hadn't actually seen the plan yet, but he was talking about it. And he said, well, we're getting rid of the individual mandate. We're getting rid of those things that people have said they don't want. And you know what? Americans have choices. And they've got to make a choice. And so maybe rather than getting that new iPhone that they just love and want to go spend hundreds of dollars on that, maybe they should invest in their own healthcare. They've got to make those decisions themselves. This is so fucking condescending. I cannot with him right now. As Gavin...
This is a thing that Republicans talk about all the time, like poor people having
television,
poor people having a television. Right, exactly. Yeah.
It's like
if healthcare has ever cost $700, by the way.
I mean,
as if you can't live without a phone.
Gavin Newsom pointed out, cost of iPhone, this is the cheapest iPhone, clearly, but $399. Cost of healthcare for 1 year, $10,345. Hearing Jason Chaffetz compare the two as if they're the same, priceless.
Good work, Gavin.
This talking point is always infuriating, and it's something you hear from people a lot too, not just Republicans.
Yes.
It's the same thing you hear from people who are angry that people complain about school debt. It's you know, it's a grumpy old person answer, basically.
Or people who are just deluded and don't actually think about like what they're
saying. No, it's same people who are like, they should stop going to Starbucks if they want to have retirement savings.
An old friend of this podcast who was our age used to say things like this.
Yeah. And it's like, one thing to think that people should be given the opportunity to be financially literate, because that's, of course, not what we're saying.
Right.
It's one thing to think that maybe there's a way that we can provide some sort of economic education for everyone so that people know how to spend their money responsibly.
Yes.
It's another to pretend like poor people should never get to have nice things because they're poor.
No.
That's not, like, you shouldn't not get to have joy because you're poor. And having an iPhone is basically like a prerequisite for existing in modern society.
Right?
It's not a luxury. It's not like some crazy extravagant thing.
Yeah.
It's part of living in this society. Having a television is what makes it tolerable to work 700 jobs and have no time to hang out with your friends.
Right.
You know, I mean, these are things you shouldn't, because you're poor, not get to have things that, you know, we actually had a conversation once with a mutual friend of ours years ago about whether or not prisoners should be allowed to have televisions. I got into a huge fight with one of our friends about this. And it was because I was like, listen, did they commit a crime? Maybe. Who knows?
Sure,
in our who knows in our in our prison system? But assuming that they are fairly being incarcerated because they are actual just like evil criminals and not people who were in tough times or whatever, who were discriminated against and then put in this situation, whatever. Assuming that they deserve to be there.
Yeah.
I don't see why they're paying their debt to society by not getting to go outside and do things.
Right.
I don't see why they should have to be bored while they're in there. I think that you should give them every opportunity to remain thinking people.
Yes.
And that includes, I mean, I, of course, am always a proponent of providing educational programs and things like that.
Of course.
But I don't see why people in prisons, they're doing the punishment. The punishment is being in prison.
Yes.
It's terrible to
be
in prison.
Exactly.
It's not fun.
Yeah.
I don't see why you shouldn't have a television. It's like the same argument here. It's like being, poverty is like it's like being in prison to these people.
Yeah,
you
totally.
You should have to pay the penance for being poor because you didn't, in their minds, like somehow like work hard enough to overcome this. But that's we know that that's not what poverty actually is like and what the causes of poverty actually are. And so,
right.
And even if they are, by the way, I don't think lazy people shouldn't get to have TVs too.
I agree.
Like, whatever. Not everyone's motivated. And a lot of unmotivated people are really rich in this society.
Totally,
so
yes.
Some of them, like Donald Trump,
I was going to say,
if failed it was upwards for years.
If it was a laziness test as to whether you could have a television or not, some poor people would not have televisions, and some
a lot of rich people wouldn't
billionaires
either.
Would not have televisions.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
And some people claiming to be billionaires who may or may not be because we haven't seen their tax returns.
Right.
Would also not be billionaires. Yeah. In any case, there was also this weird thing this week where on Friday, Trump just like abruptly decided to make all of the remaining U.S. attorneys from the Obama administration resign.
Yeah.
And he has no replacements for them.
No.
But there was, so everyone found out sort of like in a weird, surprising way because people were finding out because like reporters were calling them and things like that.
Right.
Like they didn't actually like alert anyone about this.
And again, something that they just like bungled the execution of.
Yes.
Because this is not abnormal.
No.
Like, you know, Bill Clinton, when he got into office, like got rid of like something like 90 of them, and he did it in one fell swoop. But he informed them that it was all going to happen.
And
they
let them stay on until they had the replacements.
Exactly, and also that gave them enough time to find jobs. Like we talked about this actually when he did this with a lot of members of the Foreign Service.
Yeah,
exactly. And so it leaves everybody in disarray, and then it also creates bad press for you. He could have avoided all of this bad press had he just had people at the ready to go.
Yeah.
And also just
if he had been like, we are going to be asking for your resignations.
Right. Like
in
not
this
like,
amount of time.
Like, don't come into work on Monday.
Right.
Like,
but you know what? He did it this way. He's already falling back on crazy dictator behavior. It's because he's paranoid about the leaks and advisors have been telling him to get rid of all the Obama appointees because leaks are coming out of every crevice of this administration.
Yeah.
But part of why this got so bungled is because there was one U.S. attorney that he met with in November at Trump Tower and had promised to keep on.
And and this is like the most powerful one because he represents the, I can't remember what it's called, like some southern New York district or something like that.
Well,
but it's
like,
it oversees
like... He's the Wall Street district,
He's prosecuting Wall Street. He's prosecuting terrorism too, though.
He's part of a big investigation against Bill de Blasio's donors.
Oh, right.
I mean, he's got some
And Fox News,
actually.
But he has like some cred on the left and right. And
I think he used to be chief counsel to Schumer.
He did. And he also... you know, he's very outspoken.
Yeah,
too.
He's bombastic.
So he's bombastic, which is great. He took to Twitter to say that he had been fired because he would not tender his resignation.
Right.
Which all the other ones just were like, okay, well,
well
we were sort of expecting
this. Well, he had been personally promised.
Right, exactly.
That he would be kept
and
on.
And the press had reported on that, too. Like, we all knew that these two had met with each other back in
exactly.
November. Like, we're not just learning about this. Like, people knew that the intention was that that he was going to stay on.
Yeah. This guy is sort of like, I don't know. He's rumored to have political aspirations, but he's got a lot of enemies on Wall Street. He's also got a lot of political enemies because he has gotten convictions against, like, our state assembly speaker in New York was convicted of ethics violations in this huge scandal.
Yeah.
Because he'd been a very long time assembly leader there. This is the guy who got the conviction against that. But there were also rumors that this was partially just sort of like to piss off Schumer.
Right.
I mean, the problem was it just left room for so many conspiracy theories.
Because
there's a great far left conspiracy theory as well, which is my favorite conspiracy theory.
Yeah, of course.
Which is that the Kremlin hates him because he was banned from Russia after Russia banned a bunch of people because in retaliation for some U.S. sanctions.
Sure.
This is something that's always happening. We're always banning their people. They're banning us.
Right.
We give do sanctions. They, you know, whatever. But they targeted him because he had prosecuted a convicted a Russian arms dealer. And so he had also prosecuted three Russian nationals in 2015.
Ooh, for spying.
For spying. And so and has said there are Russian spies amongst us guys. Like he has said that out, you know.
Yeah.
Into the world. So the far left is conspiracizing, conspiracizing
about Russia.
About
and
Russia's involvement. Why not?
Let's push this to the forefront.
I
want to
hear them have to say, no, Russia wasn't behind the decision to fire a U.S. attorney.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to hear them say exactly what
Democrats
Russia was behind.
Let's get good old Maxine Waters on the airwaves.
She's already doing the lion's share of everyone's work in Congress right now.
I mean, come on. Guys, she's old. She needs help.
I know. Like, can people step up?
I realize
I get that
nobody,
she's great.
Nobody, nobody glares as well as Maxine Waters. So I realized we can't send somebody out to glare like Maxine Waters because those people don't exist.
Setting them up for failure.
Right, exactly. But, you know, she could at least use some, like, rhetorical help out there.
Yeah, there's no one who has a quick witticism up their sleeve anywhere in Congress.
Right.
I mean, come on.
She could probably teach someone how to dramatically remove their eyeglasses.
That's true. There's a lot of glasses wearers in Congress.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's another thing she does better than anybody else.
She does a great glasses removal.
She does.
So true.
Yeah. She can do more.
If I could have a Maxine Waters cam at every committee hearing that she's in, too, I feel like I would learn a lot about how to express full paragraphs worth of emotion in very subtle body language.
Yes. That's what she's...
It's so funny to see, like, she's, like, getting her due to the point that, like, people are having... Like, on Wednesday when I was on strike... There was someone with a what would Maxine Waters do sign? Like people, I've seen those elsewhere as well. People are like giving Maxine Waters. Maxine Waters comes in waves.
Right, she does. She's been around for a million years. And I feel like she is now sort of like.
She was during the Clinton impeachment. Right. She was being her epic self. There was sort of a wave of acknowledgement of that. And then she kind of went back under the radar. And now she's kind of like rising back up, you know, into the radar.
I would like that. To continue for basically like as long as the American experiment.
I want her
continues.
To be the,
like how can she be immortalized leader. Somehow? I know. Right?
I want her to be the voice of the Democrats.
She's getting old. She's not going to be around for forever, guys.
No, none of these people are.
Savor this while it lasts. Exactly. Our Maxine
Speaking
Waters
of people love. That aren't going to be around forever, here's a segue to a story about John McCain.
Yeah.
He was talking to Jake Tapper this week and talked about all sorts of fun things.
Yeah.
He said that there's more shoes. This was his quote, and I think it's a genius metaphor.
It's great. Yeah.
There's a lot of shoes to drop from this centipede in talking about Trump's ties to Russia and his associates' ties to Russia. John McCain is like the only person out there being concerned about this. And that's because he's still living the Cold War.
Right. The reason that John McCain knows that there will be more shoes to drop about Russia is because he's really doing the people's work looking into it right now.
Exactly. I mean, he's the only.
If you need to know something about Russia... John McCain.
Yeah, John McCain's been suspecting them of many things for many years.
Right, since the 50s.
Since the 50s.
Whenever.
Since at least since he fell out of his first plane.
Right, exactly.
But yeah, he's been pointing out that there are a number of things that at the time seemed sort of random and unrelated that are now starting to fall into place. He specifically pointed out the fact that the Republican Party had moved from its official platform their call to provide defensive weapons to Ukraine.
Right.
So there's like little things like that he's starting to like, you know,
piece
put
together. Detective McCain.
Exactly.
On the case.
Exactly. But he does continue to point out that no one is guilty until, you know, proven guilty.
Of
Everyone's
course.
Innocent until proven guilty. I would love considering how many pieces of evidence we have that
was
wrongdoing
say, except
was
except we know
committed.
Some of the people are guilty.
I would love to hear him admit that some of these people are guilty.
At least of perjury.
Exactly.
I mean, his dear friend Jeff Sessions,
exactly.
lied to Congress under oath. So, I mean, he's guilty.
I mean, I think that there are people that we can put the blame on at this point. You know, Paul Manafort, who's not even in politics right now, resigned months ago over these charges.
Right?
I think it's okay to be like, maybe Paul Manafort is to blame for something.
Right? Sure.
I don't think we need to pussyfoot around whether he's guilty or not.
No.
But like, I'm so frustrated by him because he says things that you're like, yes, say it, John McCain. And then he never makes the sort of final declaration.
I'm surprised, considering all of the... all of the allegations, they've gone against everybody from Sessions to Trump himself, but to Manafort. I'm surprised they haven't picked, and it seems like Manafort would be your perfect person. I'm surprised they haven't picked a fall guy.
A fall guy? I'm surprised too.
Right?
But they're bad at this.
Like,
they're not good at conspiracizing.
Right?
I'm making up a lot of conspiracy-related words today, but I'm into it.
Conspiracizing, yeah.
They're not talented conspiracizers.
Like, blame one person for getting them involved in this.
Duh, that's what you do. And blame a woman because people always believe that a woman was behind evil.
Yeah.
You know? Blame Kellyanne Conway. She probably had nothing to do with it. Doesn't matter.
No.
People would be like, that bitch. And then
they
would blame...
Everybody already hates her.
Exactly. They would blame her for eternity and all the men would walk away scot-free like always happens.
Yeah.
It's I do think that at some point in his... You know, I think we are going to see our first cabinet purges soon.
Oh,
I think
for sure.
that we will reach a point in the cabinet purges when a woman will be brought on as either chief of staff or, you know, a lead advisor, and that will be the point where we know they're about to sink. If you see him bring a female chief of staff in, that man is about to go to jail. And get ready. Like, I'm waiting with bated breath.
Oh my God.
I'm waiting with bated breath for that moment.
Yeah.
Because we will know that he is about to go down
yeah.
when there is a woman in power in the White House.
God.
That's when we'll know.
No, that is sad and true.
That's when you always know. Yeah. If you're a giant company, what do you do when you're about to go bankrupt and
oh my
screw
God,
tax
so many
of
them have done it recently.
Dollars?
Yes.
Everyone, that's what you do.
Yes.
That's
you hire
what you
a woman
do.
To be the CEO. Who did it? GM did it? Yahoo did it?
Yeah.
All as they were about to literally crumble.
If you wonder why every Republican woman who's ever run for office was the CEO of a company that has failed miserably.
Right.
It's
because they brought on.
That's the only
as
time women are CEOs.
Fail.
Yeah.
Right.
Are these women, you know, evil? Is Carly Fiorina an evil woman? Yes.
Yes.
Is the fact that she's evil related to her being a woman? No. But
right.
was, you know, what was every business failing she was ever a part of because she's a woman? Yes. Like, I would contend she's probably not a worse business person than any idiot in business.
Certainly not Donald Trump.
Exactly. But like, you only get those opportunities when yeah. something's about to fail.
Yeah.
So in any case, keep your eyes on that situation because that's wow. when we'll know things are about to fall apart. But then he also said that Trump could clear up these wiretapping claims in a minute if he wanted
yeah,
to,
well,
which he's right about. He's not going to because they made them up.
Yeah.
But he, you know, regarding Trump's claims that Obama was wiretapping him, McCain said, "I have no reason to believe that the charge is true, but I also believe that the president of the United States could clear this up in a minute. All he has to do is pick up the phone, call the CIA director of national intelligence and say, okay, what happened? Because they certainly should know whether the former president of the United States was wiretapping Trump Tower."
Right.
And then he said, "The president has one of two choices, either retract or provide the information that the American people deserve. Because if his predecessor violated the law, we've got serious issues here, to say the least." He's right.
Yeah, he's right.
But I mean.
But he didn't.
He didn't.
So we don't.
The story was made up. So,
right.
I it's nonsense.
Yeah.
And this, now we come to my favorite story of the week.
Oh, this is so good. Because, as you know, for the entire, we're now on podcast 236.
Right.
And once a month out of those
236 weeks. We've literally been doing
this
for 5 years, by the way.
We have been telling you about the jobs report.
Right.
And every time we tell you about the jobs report, well, not at the beginning, because we weren't aware at the beginning
right.
how fake they were.
Right.
But now that we're 5 years in, we
right.
know that the job reports are fake.
It's a bunch of bullshit.
They're not fake in the sense that. They are, like, entirely fake.
They weren't made up.
But when you get
they're incomplete.
Right, but when you get the February jobs report at the beginning of March,
right.
you know that at the beginning of April, they will have revised
right.
the February jobs
by
report
any
to be
number of
entirely
numbers.
Entirely different than right. they were when they first released them.
Exactly.
So they're real on some level in that, you know, like this month we found
well,
out that we
trends are real.
Trends
the
are real.
Trends
right.
are real.
Right. We know that, we don't know, but we, this month, we supposedly added 235,000 jobs.
Yeah.
Now,
we've
it may not be it's
right.
definitely not going to be 235,000
no.
jobs because
no
they've
way.
Never got it exactly right. But we can at least probably guess that, like, we'd maybe had
we
a good month of adding some jobs.
Right.
Right.
This is our 77th, in fact.
77th month.
In a
all
row.
Of those 77th month, except for this one, took place under the Obama
right.
administration, guys, just in case you need math
yes.
help.
So it gave the Republicans an interesting opportunity
right.
to revise their thoughts on what it means to have a good jobs report
right.
pretty dramatically.
And they did.
Boy, did they.
Dramatically, in fact.
Yeah. Brent was reading the Drudge Report he learned of this jobs
that's
report.
That's often the...
That's how we found out
right.
about all this.
Do you want to know? I will tell you, the Drudge Report, as we know, I read all the time. It is often the first place I go, literally the first place I go in the morning. Because mm-hmm. For weird reasons, gives me a lot of joy.
Right. Yeah,
and
Brent
this
loves
is
the
a story.
Report.
Like, literally, when I get to my computer at work, we have, like, an interface where, like, you have to sign in every morning to, your
right.
username and password for, like, your web access or whatever. And so, like, to kick that in, you open your web browser, and then you go to a web page. And
right.
then before you can actually get to that web page,
you gotta enter your
You gotta enter your username and password. And mine, I literally open up my browser, and I start typing drudgereport.com
yeah.
because,
yeah,
and then that's what prompts me. And then that's literally the first thing that I look at on my computer almost daily.
After Brent's great insight about Hillary Sicknessgate in the last election,
right.
I've started reading the Drudge Report from time
yeah.
to time as well. And
yes.
I always find it informative.
Right. But I woke up that morning
yeah.
to look at it, or got into the office that morning
right.
and looked at it. And it was a smiling picture of President Trump. And it said, "Jobs President!" exclamation point. And it was a link to the jobs report. And I was
yeah.
like, oh, here we go. I knew it was going to be a delicious day.
About to get
and it
real.
Was. It
Sean
was.
Spicer and yeah. Renz Priebus both hit the Twitters
mm,
immediately
yes.
to congratulate Trump on his stellar job performance.
Yes.
Great news
yes.
for American workers. Economy added 235,000 new jobs.
Mm.
Unemployment rate drops to 4.7 in first reports of the POTUS Trump.
Mm.
Yes. POTUS Trump delivers first jobs report. 235,000 new jobs and unemployment rate down to 4.7. Great news for American workers.
Yes, guys, we did it. We did it. Finally, Republicans for the win. One jobs report. Now, interestingly, in 2014, Reince Priebus, after a jobs report of over 300,000, said, "We're glad to see some Americans found work last month, but we can't rest until jobs are easy to find."
But so, now we can still, rest, guys.
Now we can.
So everything's fine.
Yeah, everybody's employed now, by the
Kevin
way.
Kevin McCarthy tweeted, yes. "Wonderful economic news. Hashtag MAGA.
Yeah, Make America Great Again. MAGA."
Interestingly, in 2014, after a jobs report of almost the exact same number, McCarthy said, "Reduced unemployment is a positive development for our economy, but too many Americans are still discouraged from entering the workforce." Mm,
yes, and I think the worst offender, because while both of those, Priebus and Kevin McCarthy, found reasons that the jobs report weren't great, they also both sort of, like, gave...
There is some a positive
sort
thing
of,
here.
Some sort of, like, tepid, you know, right. like... Yeah, like...
There's one anyway, positive right. thing.
But Kevin Brady, who is the chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, issued, like, a glowing statement of this jobs report. Like, wonderful. It was, like, the greatest jobs report ever.
A significant sign that we're
1 month of moving in the right direction. Now, last February, 2016, yes. February, after...
1 year ago.
Right. After a jobs report that was higher than this jobs report, by almost 10,000 jobs, mm-hmm. Brady said, quote, "Disappointing to see so little growth in full-time work and wages."
Oh, man.
Oh, boy. And in what was the greatest quote of all of them.
Yes.
This hypocrisy did not go unnoticed by the press. So exactly. they decided at Sean Spicer's press hearing to ask him about it. And his
press
quote.
Hearing. I love that you called it a press hearing.
Press it. Press conference. Yeah. sort of like
he
a
was
hearing.
Like on the stand.
I think giving that's testimony. How, I think that's how Sean Spicer probably feels
well,
while he's up there.
For sure.
And I think that's probably how the press feels.
Yes.
In their grilling of him, actually, too. But they asked him about it, and he said, quote, we're not making this up, yeah. by the way. This is his quote from the press hearing. Mm-hmm. Quote, "They may have been phony in the past, but it's very real now."
Hashtag alternative facts.
Like,
first of all,
for the last 77 months, we have been giving you fake job reports. But this month,
believe
we
us
promise.
This is another good time to remind listeners that we're in the Obama fiscal year until October.
Again.
Again.
Yes.
Once again.
We're going to remind you that until October.
Yeah. Once again, any economic benefits that accrue to us, in the same way that when Obama took office, we had a year where shit was still hitting the fan and everyone was panicking.
Totally.
And it's because we were in the Bush economic,
yeah.
you know, fiscal year.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
There was a in when he was running for his second term, I remember this from reading Game Change, or the second Game yeah. Change, whatever it was called.
Double Down.
I don't know. Double Down. There's going to be another one of those,
oh,
by the
my
way.
God. Thank God. I was
yes.
so hoping
they announced it the
it.
Other day, and it's going to be a miniseries, and Jay Roach is directing it.
Perfect.
It's like the
Great.
HBO
Everyone
and
is
the
doing
John
the right
Heilman
thing. Yeah.
yeah, exactly. There was a freak out, like, a year before, because 77 months is, like, a little over 5 years. So
right.
it was when they were running against Romney, where the jobs report came out, and it was, I kid you not, it was zero.
Just zero. Oh, because it was when we finally got over the hump.
Right. But they were, but the Obama campaign was actually fucking panicked as shit
right.
because they thought they were going to have, like, added jobs. But, like, anyway, I just.
But
like,
it was, like, right
was
when
like
the jobs, when we stopped losing
zero.
Jobs
yes.
and we were about
right.
to start gaining them and
exactly.
the jobs report hit zero.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. But, like, zero. I mean, come like, on. Like that.
That's a bad
that
number. Yeah.
Wasn't right.
No, exactly.
Like, in all of America,
no
like literally the exact number was zero.
We all just continued like, in the. Like, it was such like
that's
a month
how ridiculous
where nothing
the jobs
happened.
Reports are. Because,
yeah.
like, you can't, like, that just isn't. Like,
but, the,
that
like,
can't
we
be
have,
real.
Brent and I have reported at times job report distinctions that have been as big
off
as 100,000 jobs.
100%. We could find out that the February jobs report was, like, closer to 100,000,
yeah.
and it would not shock us.
No.
It might shock. You who
it would shock these people.
It would shock them, right?
I was, but because I think that they maybe don't realize that the jobs reports are fake. I think this is the first time they've thought of one,
right?
Because they're not experienced
right.
politicos.
They've thought about that in the sense
in the
that
Trump
they thought that they just wanted to poo-poo it because
right.
it was Obama's jobs report.
Exactly.
But they didn't.
But they've
actually
never like thought, oh, it's so weird that these numbers are never the same month
right.
to month.
Right. Exactly.
In any case,
oh boy.
So hypocrisy on full display.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Donald Trump is getting his chance to see the court in court.
Yes.
Finally
I know.
Did it.
And he, I don't think, you know what? And what I love about this is that he actually, he said, we'll see you in court, and sounded like he was really excited about it. But the fact that they didn't challenge this in court and only rewrote the executive order leads me to believe that he didn't actually want to see them in court. But unfortunately
for him...
It's
like when you say to an acquaintance that you ran into on the street, I'll see you soon.
Right, exactly.
Should we get lunch? Yeah, let's totally get lunch.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah.
Donald Trump did not want to get lunch with the court.
He didn't. He didn't want to see him. He didn't want to get lunch with them. He didn't want to text them.
No.
Yeah. We got the second travel ban this week.
Yes.
And while many legal experts think that most of what's in it is probably
technically legal
and while still awful,
right,
he's still probably going to have to go to court to defend it because both Hawaii and Washington have refiled suit in the same circuit court that they did the last time because they were two of the states that filed the last time.
Right.
So Hawaii is... Well, first off, let's tell you about the travel ban, the revised travel ban.
Oh, right.
So it came out.
It's very clearly meant to address the specific issues people pointed out.
Right, exactly. So it halts the U.S. refugee program, and also it sort of ends new visa application from 6 instead of 7 predominantly
Muslim.
They removed Iraq. And a lot of people after the last one said that's... Oh, and it also removed... if you have a green card... Like, there's no problems for you if you have a green card now, too.
Or Visa.
Or Visa, right, yeah.
If you already have a Visa.
If you already have a Visa. And a lot of people, like, after the last one said, I don't know why he didn't just do this, where, like, they stopped issuing new visas from these countries. Because, like, they do have the authority to do that. So, like, why did they do this so broadly and, like, ridiculously?
Well,
because
they didn't know.
Because, like, they didn't know, right. Like,
because they're not knowing
things. Right, because the government can decide who they issue visas to.
Yeah.
So... In reality, this is probably going to stick. But anyway, Hawaii is taking them back to court because they are basically just, like, still mad about it because they think it still treats Muslims that live in their state as second-class citizens, which is in violation of the U.S. Constitution and the Immigration and Nationality Act. That was, like, direct wording from, like, their new suit. Washington took a little bit of a different approach, and I'm, like, loving the Washington lawyers, by the way, because, basically what they are saying is that when a court tells you that you can't do something, you can't just go and fix it and then declare that you fixed it.
Right.
Only the court can tell you that you fixed it.
Right.
So
they're the ones who decide whether it's legal.
Right.
Or
so
not.
They are saying that the initial ban should stay in place until Trump and his lawyers show up in that court and are able to prove that they have fixed all of these things. They can't just ignore the previous ban, write something new, and then be like, look, we fixed it, guys.
Right.
So, but they said there were two things that I love about the state of Washington. In their brief, they said, when a court enjoins a defendant from implementing policies, the defendant cannot evade that injunction simply by reissuing the same basic policies in a new form. Courts do not issue injunctive relief in a game of whack-a-mole, forced to start anew at a defendant's whim. So I love that they used whack-a-mole in, like, a legal filing with, like, the Ninth Circuit Court, like, when you're suing the President of the United States for the federal government.
Yeah,
like,
someone had to take up Scalia's wordsmithing.
Well, that's true, yes.
You know?
So I love that they use whack-a-mole.
It's pure applesauce.
Right.
Otherwise.
Yes. But they also threw some shade in Trump's direction and also sought to remind the judges in the court that Trump hates them.
Right.
Because they also said, Trump's lawyers' assertions that they have fixed all the legal issues with the new ban, they said, quote, while this assertion may be in keeping with the president's position that courts are powerless to review his executive orders related to immigration, it is utterly inconsistent with basic legal principles. It is the judicial branch, not the president, that decides whether actions are lawful. So, I love that because it was a jab at the president, and it was also like a, hey, judges, remember he hates you.
Yeah.
You know, like, so those guys, those Washington lawyers, attorney general, whoever it is, like, God bless them.
They're getting it.
Yeah,
they're getters.
They're getters.
And good work, Donald. You get to see everyone in court.
Right, exactly. You're
going
to have
like
to show
up. Just like you
wanted. Yep, exactly. Yep.
Meanwhile, at the state level, we have a couple of exciting stories.
Yes.
One is that Texas was found guilty of gerrymandering.
Oh, really?
By a federal panel.
Based on federal judges.
Based
on, guess what? Some good old-fashioned racism.
That's right.
Yeah.
And is now going to have to redraw 3 congressional districts.
Yeah.
So apparently, these congressional districts, it's their local rep, Will Hurd, Blake Farenthold, and Lloyd Doggett. Mm-hmm. Those are the most Texas names I've ever heard in my life.
Exactly.
Were drawn specifically to exclude a voice for Hispanic voters in the area.
Oh, shock, so shock of shocks.
There are two ways that people do this. One is to either pack all of the voters of a specific
district.
Yeah, of a specific ethnicity into a specific district. That's called packing.
Yep.
Or dividing them, which is called cracking, into districts where they have no
electoral
voice.
Right.
So my favorite part is that they have to use packing and cracking in their decision. The court finds this evidence persuasively demonstrates that map drawers intentionally packed and cracked on the basis of race with the intent to dilute minority voting streams.
Oh, God.
They've had gerrymandering issues there before.
Oh,
There was a dispute a few years ago that delayed their Senate primary, and that was the one that Ted Cruz won. So this can be really disastrous.
Right. Yeah.
You got to be careful.
Yeah.
But so they are now going to have to deal with redrawing those. Not that I trust them to do that correctly, but actually. No. That kind of leads neatly into our next story, which is about Arnold Schwarzenegger, who got a lot of buzz last week that he was going to be running for Senate and has since claimed he's not going to run for Senate on a Facebook post. But he is devoting his time to gerrymandering,
which I think
is interesting.
Yeah. Well, and that actually was...
That's a great
I trust him to get involved in this because he worked on that as our governor.
That was something he was working on as our governor. And it shouldn't be a partisan issue.
If you are somebody
who cares about the will of the people, regardless of your politics...
Yeah.
It shouldn't be a partisan issue.
Yeah.
But so, in any case, there was buzz all week that he was going to run for governor. Senator.
Yeah.
For Feinstein's seat. Yeah.
Who is running, again, by the way. She is fundraising right now for 2018. She will be 90 in 2024, which would be the last year of her term.
We have to have a discussion about this.
We're going to have like a written discussion about this in the form of...
In the form of an op-ed of some sort.
Yes.
Because...
So, yeah.
Let's... make some room for some younger talent.
Yes.
You know, the Democrats have no bench.
No.
As we've learned.
Right.
Because they keep trying to run Hillary Clinton for office, regardless of the circumstances.
But in California, the thing is,
we have
they
a bench.
Do. And they're
There's
being
not
robbed.
Enough higher offices for them to ascend into. You know, we only have one governor in California.
Right, we
have some great candidates.
Right, and the reason that all of the living Democrats are running for governor, like all of the big names are going to run for Jerry Brown's seat because
he's
coming up. He's going to be termed out. And he's also old.
He's like
Gavin Newsom is going to run. Antonio Villaraigosa has said he's going to run. There are a lot of people who think, even though he just got reelected, that Eric Garcetti may run.
Mm-hmm.
There's talk about the
Becerras.
Yeah.
Adam
Schiff
he's
is not going to
make a name for himself.
He's one of the biggest name Democratic representatives out there. He's not going to continue to be our representative until the end of time.
Exactly.
So, and I'm not saying all of those are necessarily even better than Dianne Feinstein, but we just can't.
We can't just phase younger, exciting candidates out on the basis of someone who, by the way, is the most frustrating senator on earth.
Right.
Because
exactly.
She, you know, does she ultimately like vote a Democratic line? Sure.
Yes.
Is she centrist? Yes. California's not anymore, though.
Right. No.
California
it's not.
Is not where she is.
No.
And she was elected by a very different California than she currently lives
in. She absolutely
was.
She's continued to be reelected, but she was elected being a moderate, and she has always had a lot of support in the central part of the state that a lot of Democrats don't necessarily, which God bless her. But I mean, she's not necessarily who we as a collective state are looking for currently.
No.
And I don't want to defend us in a Trump administration.
And
she has been our senator for a long time, and I commend her for doing so. The time has passed.
The time has passed.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no, don't run for reelection.
No.
Retire.
Barbara Boxer didn't. Blesser went out on a high. We got Kamala Harris, who is... I think probably going to do a good job. She's not necessarily a huge lefty, but I mean, like, she's at least
trying to make a name for herself on some of the issues that Californians care
about.
And she has gone in with the mindset that she needs to be radical because of the circumstances.
Right.
So
yes.
I think that this is a time that we could find somebody who could go in and really do the work.
Yes.
You know, this isn't like some lame-o time where we have to worry. But I also, you know, with this talk of Schwarzenegger, we started to really worry because...
That's concerning to me.
There's a few things. One, We live in a state that invented reality television stars and celebrity that cares very deeply about those things.
Yes.
We, if any liberal state is at risk of having a celebrity beat a legitimate politician in public office, it is California.
Yes.
You know, I know we just did that at a national level, but what Arnold Schwarzenegger has is a platform to attack Trump because of their apprentice ties.
Well,
and that is why he's such a risk in this situation.
Well, and that's what,
and that's why they were talking about him running.
Exactly. And that's why I don't, that's why he scares me, actually, because, like, he is getting a lot of props from both the left and the right now in his very, like, open willingness to, like, take on Trump.
Exactly.
And I think that he could, I don't know, I think that he could potentially beat her, and I don't love that.
No. Especially because it's like, he's, like, doing less damage this way. He was a bad governor. He will
be a
bad
governor.
Senator.
Right, exactly.
He is doing good work on gerrymandering, though.
Yes, exactly.
Let him do good things.
I know.
Don't rob him of the ability to do the right thing.
No, let him work on gerrymandering and release a Facebook video with a snide comment on Trump every
once
in a while.
Let's get to work on that. He is doing the right thing right now.
Yeah.
Let's let him be a good person.
Yeah.
You know? Let's let him try.
Yeah, I know.
Like, I'm sick of us trying to dismantle, you know, like sometimes Republicans find their way into a sort of subset of an issue where they're doing good work kind of by accident.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like a lot of the time we try to rob them of that.
I know.
You know, like
Well, the Republicans who want him to run probably want to rob him of that.
Exactly. Well, yeah. But I mean, like, I just like,
gerrymandering is working out great for them right now. So.
Let's let him do his. I feel like in the new California, gerrymandering would not work out great for them.
No, it wouldn't. No,
nobody in California.
We already have a supermajority, and we already fixed gerrymandering.
Exactly. So. So I feel like let's not do anything crazy.
Yeah.
You guys.
He needs to
think of yourself.
He needs to work on re-gerrymandering it back.
Exactly. Like he's not your guy.
Republicans.
Yeah. Meanwhile, in final news.
Yeah.
If you were hoping to get a White House tour in while you were in D.C. this year.
It's simple.
A simple White House tour.
Yeah. You can consider
this.
You can come pretty close to getting a personal meeting.
Right.
With
consider the president. This. If you just find a fence to hop right over, you could just walk right in there.
Or, as it turns out, multiple fences, guys.
Yes. Yeah. If you just want to do some fence hopping, if you're a parkour expert.
Yeah.
And also have a desire to meet with the president personally.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Then why don't you just head over to the White House?
Right. What I found, a man carrying a backpack that had mace in it and
a letter for
the president, which we'll get to the letter in a little bit because it's crazy, got arrested on Friday night, and he was in the White House.
Yeah.
Guys, the Secret Service found him at the south entrance, like, to the actual executive residence. Now, the thing that shocked me the most about the story was not that he was able to get into the residence. It was that it was a Friday night and Trump was actually at the residence.
There was an actual president at the White House.
He was not.
There wasn't just a crazy guy there. Well, there was both.
He wasn't spending like the weekend at Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah. You know, he had to get to work for one weekend of the last 6 weeks.
Yes. Yeah. Anyway, so the guy who is Jonathan Tran, he is from California. I think he was only 26.
Yeah, he's a young man with mental health issues because that's all young men doing crazy shit are just...
Well,
young 20-something men are crazy.
I know. At least he can get a gun now.
That's right.
Legally.
Yeah, that's true. And he's got aspirations to get FaceTime with the president.
Now, when the Secret Service found him, he had a pretty, while unbelievable, he had at least sort of like a solid story going because they asked him what he was doing there. And he said that he was, quote, a friend of the president's and that he had an appointment.
Yeah.
But then is where the story fell apart because the Secret Service asked him how he got in and he slipped.
Right.
Guys, he had an appointment with the... If you have an appointment with the president,
they let you
in
the door.
Have to you don't have to jump the fence. And that's how he responded to that question. They said, how did you get in? And he said, I jumped the fence. So then the alarm bells went off at that point, basically. Yeah. So he's currently facing a charge of unlawful entry and is going to be arraigned tomorrow or today as you listen to this.
Right.
And will, I'm sure, probably be convicted. I think I read somewhere that he could face like 10 years.
That's nuts. He's like an unemployed guy who clearly has mental health issues.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he was like an engineer or something.
Yeah, he had like an engineering degree.
An electrical engineer.
And he had been laid off from his job, and his brother said that he had been dealing with it really hard. He had apparently been living in his car. He'd been like eating all like junk food.
Right.
So it was definitely like a mental health issue that, but it's, I mean, sad that it stemmed from I mean,
from unemployment.
From
and
unemployment. I mean, he may have. I'm sure that there was like some, you know,
right compounding.
Right, problem. Exactly. Yes,
but it is a little disturbing that just about anyone can just like walk into the White House.
Yeah, because like you know, Trump said the next day, like they asked him about it, and he was like, "Oh, the Secret Service was great," and oh, he also said it was sad. That was, yeah. You know, as you know, he's got all the great words, but sad is often the only one that he can seem to come up with. But anyway, so he was like, "The Secret Service was great," but a lot of people who are sort of like experts on White House geography, we're really fucking concerned about this.
Yeah.
Because as the CNN analyst said, quote, if someone came over the northwest fence of the Treasury complex, which is where he came from, what that indicates is they didn't go over just one fence. They went over multiple fences. This has the potential to be a catastrophic breach of the White House complex. It's really disturbing just the amount of real estate this intruder was able to gain or bypass on the complex before he was picked
up. It's pretty disturbing.
So he jumped multiple fences and got inside before anyone knew that he was even there and just saw him roaming the hallways. But, that's not great.
I mean, You guys. I've never realized how much of this country was being held together by pure etiquette.
Gosh.
Until recently.
Right. Yeah, you're just not supposed to jump
right.
the White
you're
House.
You're not supposed to break into the White House, so we just generally don't do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Until
oh, let's
now.
Go back. I thought we were done, but hold on. Let's go back to the letter because we skipped over that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It had some gems in it. Hold on just a second. Where is it? Oh, yeah. So in this letter. Oh, he was also carrying one of Trump's books in the backpack, by the way. But in the letter, he said he had mentioned the Russian hackers, and he said that he had information of relevance.
Yes, oh, right.
Yes, and then he also alleged that he had been followed there, and both his phone and his email communications had been read by third parties, and that he had been called schizophrenic, which
may be the most correct thing.
He was probably called schizophrenic by a medical professional, right. If I had to
if
guess,
you do,
which
venture,
is
I guess.
Sad.
Right,
but,
in the words of Donald Trump.
Sad, yes. Yeah, he was right in this case. This was sad.
Unusual, but here we are. In any case, that's the news this week.
Yeah.
I cannot wait to see, but I also could wait forever to see what happens with this Trump care bill.
It's going to be great. And
I mean, it is going to be terrible because we're proposing a policy that would ruin the lives of millions of people.
Right.
But it's going to be great to watch them try
it
to struggle
unraveled.
To explain how this is going to work and why this is going to work while their own party on both ends hates them.
Yeah.
And I don't think that this Republican Party is the Republican Party that
in
line.
Oh, no. They are far too unwieldy. I mean,
I liked it better when we were that party.
I know.
I don't mind when the Democrats are unwieldy because I think that they generally can be reasonable when they need
right.
to be.
You know what? The one thing I will say, though, is that I agree with you wholeheartedly, but had they been unwieldy, we would not have been able to pass Obamacare. And while you and I don't like it necessarily much.
Actually,
it has now at least gotten us to this point. Oops, I just knocked the microphone, waving my arms wildly.
I would contend, though, that we only got Obamacare because they were unwieldy and that the most unwieldy part of it was coming
moderates.
From the right. It was Ben Nelson.
Yes, you're absolutely
and
right.
And so, in fact, we were not unified.
Had
on
the left
that.
Been a little more unwieldy, there at least would have been a public option
exactly.
buried within Obamacare.
Yeah,
right. You're right. You're
I
right.
think our unwieldiness often does things for good
right.
as opposed
yes,
to theirs,
right.
which only does things for evil.
Right, exactly. All right, I take it back.
Yeah, I'm always right, Brent. I don't know why you would question me on this. In any case, that's the news this week.
Yeah.
Next week, my father will be here.
Yeah.
So he'll be coming on the podcast.
Yeah, it's the Nordstrom family podcast month.
Yeah, it's Nordstrom. Well, he's a Bobro, so the Nordstrom Bobro family
right, so.
Adventure time.
Sure. Yeah,
I
like
so
that better.
We will, yeah. We'll talk to you guys then.
Bye.
Bye.